Brihate, who are unlimited. Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Translation, since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The words Brihate Namashte have been explained by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Brihate Shri Krishnaya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. There are many tattvas such as Vishnu tattva, Jiva tattva, and Shakti tattva. But above everything there is Vishnu tattva, which is all-pervading. This all-pervading feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 42, wherein the Lord says, Atava bahunaitena kim chintena tavarjuna vishtabhayam idam krishnam ikashem shashtito jagat. Quote, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? The single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe, unquote. Thus Krishna says that the entire material world is maintained by his partial representation as Paramatma. The Lord enters every universe as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and then expands himself as Shri Dakshayi Vishnu to enter the hearts of all living entities and even into the atoms. Adantarashta Padamano Chayantarashtam. Every universe is full of atoms, and the Lord is not only within the universe, but also within the atoms. Thus, within every atom, the Supreme Lord exists in his Vishnu feature as Paramatma. But all the Vishnu tattvas emanate from Krishna. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.2, Aham Adir I Devanam. Krishna is the Adi or beginning of the devas of this material world, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Therefore, he is described here as Bhagavate Brihate. Everyone is Bhagavan, everyone possesses opulence, but Krishna is Brihan Bhagavan, the possessor of unlimited opulence. Ishvara Padma Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everyone. Aham Savasya Pabhava. Even Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara come from Krishna. Mata Parataram Nanyad Kinchit Ashti Dhananjaya. There is no personality superior to Krishna. Therefore, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Bhagavate Brihate means unto Krishna. In this material world, everyone is a pashu, an animal, because of the bodily concept of life. Yashatma buddhi kunape tri datuke. Shwadi kala tradishu bhama ijadihi. Yatirta buddhi shalye na kahichich. Janesh va bu jineshu shva eva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge, there is to be considered like a cow or ass. Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Practically everyone, therefore, is pashu, an animal, and everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of elephants, but every one of us is being attacked by the crocodile, and is suffering the consequences. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarvabhutanam videshu arjuna tishtati. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Buddhi Karunaya Namo Lalaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated. And although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Sarva Dharmam Padityaya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Nonetheless, he does not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Buddhi Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. In this very beautiful and poetic verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Gajendra glorifies the Lord as Shamshena Sharvatanu Brin, which means the super soul of all living entities who are embodied in material nature. As we've discussed many times, the super soul is one of the three aspects of the absolute truth revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanti tatva vidash tatvam yaginam advayam brahma meti paramat meti bhagavan iti shabjate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Now, curiously enough, at least to the beginner, the neophyte, although the Paramatma is Krishna, one of the three aspects of the absolute truth, he doesn't exist in the spiritual world. This is curious. This feature of the Lord, Paramatma, only exists in the material world. When we fall from grace, when we fall from the spiritual world, from our spiritual position, Krishna accompanies us as the super soul in our sojourn through the material world. Therefore, Prabhupada has referred to the super soul as the best friend of the living entity. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Although we may forget God, never for a moment, for an instant, for an iota in time does he forget us. As Gajendra says, and Prabhupada elaborates, he's incessantly trying to deliver us. So in this seemingly endless journey through the material world, it's described that the living entity has been in the material world since time immemorial, because our brains can't fathom the mathematical calculation of how long we've been here. Prabhupada just paraphrases. We've been here since time immemorial. In that endless journey of samsara, round and around and up and down, through various species of life, here, there, and everywhere, Lord is situated within the heart. How do we know? Because he says so. Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishto matashmitir ginam ponam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So scientific this Bhagavatam. It goes into great detail, revealing to us the Lord is in his personal form in the spiritual world, is all pervading by his energies, and he's situated within the heart. Even the atom of every universe, what is he doing in the heart? Nothing's left to speculation. He's giving remembrance, he's giving knowledge and forgetfulness. So actually, to the amazement of the materialist, atheist, there's not only one soul in this body, sir. We have to spend hours, months, years convincing them that there's even a soul in the body. because they think everything comes from matter. They think consciousness is a material phenomenon. You put some chemicals together and you get, boom, consciousness, life. Although Prabhupada challenged, it's never been proven. So therefore it's only a theory, it's not knowledge, it's not fact. But after all that, we say, hey, wait a minute, there's not only one soul in this body, there's two souls in the body. There's a little eensy weensy teensy beensy, you and me, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair in dimension, just to give us an idea. Hey, and then there's another soul. There's the super soul, like we have the Super Bowl. There's something super going on here. This is super. This is super soul. Now, super soul is not a word you'll find in Veda. That second spark of life, the force within, Veda calls it Param Atma. That's the most authoritative way. Atma means soul, and Param means supreme. So Param Atma means the supreme soul. So why didn't Prabhupada call it supreme soul? Because in the 1960s, he was preaching in America, and he had to adjust without compromising time, place, and circumstance. He had to get the hippies to understand what is this second spark. So we were saying things like super consciousness. So Prabhupada said, okay, there's a super soul. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he called him the overseer. So what's he doing? He's giving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And in that verse, Sarvasya Jaham Hridi Shanivishto, Prabhupada writes that this means, it's not that he's giving remembrance of who we are, knowledge how to approach him, not in the initial stage. It's really amazing, actually, if you read that purport carefully. Prabhupada said that for the conditioned soul, the Lord is facilitating his sojourn in this material world. He's giving us remembrance of our past desires and previous bodies. He's giving us knowledge of how to fulfill them, and he's giving us forgetfulness of him. Now, wait a minute, how's he the best friend? He's giving us remembrance, in other words, we go from body to body to body, and each time he helps us remember those nasty little desires in the heart. He gives us knowledge how to try to fulfill them, and he helps us forget him. What kind of God would facilitate one's forgetting him? How do we understand this? It's subtle. A lot of philosophy is subtle, but that's why we have an intelligence. Papa said intelligence means to see things in their proper perspective, to be analytical and try to understand things. We see this world through the eyes of Guru Shastra and Sadhu, not through our senses, through our emotions, but soberly. So what is the Lord doing for facilitating our forgetfulness? Well, that's what you want. Man proposes and God disposes. But the end result is you become very frustrated by that business of remembering your past desires and trying to fulfill them. It leads to a cul-de-sac. You just get to this point where you can't go on any further. In desperation, you call out to God. Maybe not in this lifetime, maybe not next lifetime, maybe not 10 lifetimes, maybe not a million lifetimes, but eventually you're going to come to the cul-de-sac of frustration in this world, and everyone in the long run is going to call out to God. There's no other recourse. That phenomena is described in the Svetasvatara Upanishad. Another kind of a beautiful analogy is given to bring the subtle esoteric philosophy into perspective so we laymen, we common men and women, we can understand. This is not meant just for the super intellectuals. It's meant for every human being. And Prabhupada is so expert that he makes these concepts understandable even to hippies, the flower power of the 60s and the whatever. He's made it easy for us to understand and present day people to understand and anyone in Kali Yuga to understand. So he takes from the Svetasvatara Upanishad, which, as you know, this analogy has probably been given hundreds of times in this temple room in the last few years. Two birds sitting in the same tree, one bird's eating the fruit, and the other one's watching, and one bird gets sick of the fruit, the little bird, because even though it's a nice cherry tree in the spring, you can only eat so many cherries, and you get sick to your tummy. So then the bird gets tired of eating the fruit, and he turns to his friend, Pamagi, help me, this Russian. Pamagi, Krishna, save me. And then the super soul kicks into his real purpose in being there. The ultimate desire of the Lord is that he wants to deliver us. Again, the word incessantly. It's a very powerful word, incessantly. He incessantly wants to deliver. He's just waiting for that moment. Talk about patience. The Lord is waiting. He accompanied us through all these despicable, horrible species of life like spiders and bugs and hogs and dogs and whatever. He's just waiting till we take the bitter fruit and we know, God, help me. Okay. Here I am. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has hinted of all the qualities of the Lord, his compassion is the most amazing. He's referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most recent incarnation. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Godashe Namaha. Out of all the incarnations of the Lord, which are as unlimited as the ways, you're the most amazing. Because you freely bestow upon the fallen conditioned souls of this age who have no qualification, the topmost goal of life, Krishna Prema. This is his compassion. So that as soon as there's some little glimmer where there's life, there's hope, the Lord sees some life, some real life, spiritual life, then he is trying to guide us. Problem is that just as we once ignored, turned our face, Bahir Mukha, Jagannatha Panda says in Prema Vivarta, Bahir Mukha, as we turned our face away from God in the spiritual world, we continue with the same folly in the material world. It's like adding insult to injury. He's there trying to give us good instruction, but due to the false ego, we can't hear, we can't follow. The instruction is coming loud and clear. Jivera Supoya Krishnara Nitya Das, you're my eternal servant, surrender to me. Sarva Dharman Padichaja. Krishna doesn't speak anything else but pure transcendental knowledge. So it's coming right there within your heart. The closest thing to you is the super soul. He's giving this direction. But because of the false ego, we can't hear. Machita Sarva Durgani Mat Pashada Tarishasi Atachitvam Ahankaram Nasharashasi Vyanasi. He says, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through the false ego, not hearing me, you're lost. Just like sometimes you turn into a radio program and suddenly there's some interference. Hey, fix that. Why trying? You can't hear. The message is coming, but there's some static electricity in the air, so you can't hear. So the message is, Lord is incessantly trying to deliver us. The message is coming through, but because of the false ego. So what to do? Well, he's incessantly trying to deliver us. So because we can't hear him within, he pops out. That's really it. he appears externally as the spiritual master. Spiritual master says the same thing as the super soul. That is his sole qualification. He's saying the same thing as the Supersoul. Therefore, the spiritual master, who's there also to guide us, he's described as an external manifestation of the Supersoul. This is actually the Lord's, you could say, the Lord's first installment of mercy is that he sends his representative. Just like you take out a, you know, you take out a loan. So the first installment comes, you get whatever, $2,500 for your new business. You get the first installment. So what is the Lord's first installment of mercy once we turn our face back to him? We've been gone a long time and we want to go back home. So what's the first installment of mercy? He sends his representative. Sometimes a neophyte devotee, he's thinking, does Krishna even know that I exist? Little old me here in Alachua, trying to chant my rounds, falling asleep, struggling to control my mind and senses, trying to read but falling asleep. Does Krishna know that, you know, way up there in Vaikuntha and Goloka that I exist? Yes, he knows. A definite sign, he has sent you the association of devotees. And a sure sign is that he has put you under the shelter of his representative. So one doesn't get a spiritual master by chance. Nothing happens by chance in this world. Even from the material point of view, nothing happens by chance. It's all directed. From the workings of the atom to the working of the cosmos, it's all happening under the direction of the Supreme Lord. What to speak in spiritual life? As if nothing is happening by chance in the material world, then what about nothing? Certainly nothing is happening by chance in the life of a devotee. So when that external manifestation of the Supersoul becomes visible in our life, we should take it as divine providence. As did the sages of Naimisharanya when Sutta Goswami appeared. These great sages had assembled with the compassionate desire to figure out how to counteract the evil nature of Kali Yuga, which was just about to begin. This is their business. As materialists come together, how to exploit others. Sadhus come together, how to benefit others. They had a powwow. They had a ishtagoshti in the favorable atmosphere of the forest of Naimisharanya. They all came together. I don't know how many, but they were discussing. This Kali Yuga is beginning, and so many poor, unfortunate souls are going to suffer. What can we do as sadhus? What formula can we come up to counteract their suffering? It's amazing that without we knowing it, there's people out there thinking about our ultimate welfare. Oh my gosh. We're going about our business of sense gratification, our sinful activity, and there's groups of people meeting in sacred places thinking how to deliver these fellas. It's incredible. As the Lord is incessantly trying to deliver his devotees, or the conditioned soul, so his representative, the devotees, they've enthusiastically taken up the same cause. They're also thinking incessantly how to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. Thank God for the sadhus. So these sadhus, thousands of years ago, before you were born, 10 years ago, thinking how to do like this, and they're thinking, but they just can't figure it out because Kali Yuga is such a mess. They couldn't figure it out. All of a sudden, they look through the trees and down the path to the forest comes this humble little sadhu with only his loincloth on, his water pot and his mala. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And they saw him and they recognized him because they're sadhus, they're trained in these things. They could see, oh, Guru has come to enlighten us. So they said, Tvam na sandashito dhatra dushtadam nishtiti shitam kalim sattvam haram pumsham kara dhara nivaranam. Hey, Sadhu Ji, we think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence. You haven't come here by chance. Providence is a way of saying God. You can't say the word God directly sometimes in society because people don't believe in God. So you kind of like, providence. Some things, my mom used to say, something's out there, son. Okay, we'll call it providence. Okay, but don't call it Krishna. Okay, we'll call it providence. Something. So we think we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So tvam, your goodness, naha, unto us, sundarshita, meeting, tatra, by providence. This meeting, we have met you, not by chance, we've met you by providence. Krishna sent you. You're the external manifestation of the super soul. You're proof of God's incessant desire that I get out of this place. Couldn't do it alone. He's so kind. He sent you. He's very far away, but he's very near as well. How's he near? In the form of the spiritual guide. As Rupa Goswami says in his Padyavali, Lord, I am drowning in this fathomless whirlpool of material existence. Please, just this one time, will you extend your hand to save me? How does the Lord do that? He extends the long arm into the long arm of the law. He just extends his arm. No. Please extend your hand to save me. What is that extension of his mercy? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastu Koi Lavamatra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The association of the sadhus and the sadvis. And amongst them, a devotee becomes inspired within the heart to accept one of those sadhus, or in some cases sadvis, as a spiritual guide, the person who takes responsibility for us to get out of the material world. We offer respect to all the devotees, but one who takes the responsibility to deliver us, the burden, the headache, the loving burden, we have a special affection for that person because he takes the responsibility until we reach perfection and beyond. We have a relationship with him in the spiritual world. It's eternal. So they say that it's a sundarshita dhatra. This is a meeting arranged by providence. It's written that just as the light of dawn precedes the rising of the sun, so the mercy of a devotee precedes the mercy of God. First it's the rays of the sun, and then the sun globe comes. So first we get the mercy of a devotee, and then we get the mercy of the Lord. And we all have practical experience of that. How did you come to this movement? Because you were walking down the street, you met God? You were walking down the street and you met a devotee of God. And most likely he was a Kanishtha Adhikari. He was a bhakti, just shaved his head. He had the white here and red here, just the sika. This is divine providence, Vajrayana's association of devotees. Very powerful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that more dangerous than associating with a materialistic woman is to associate with a man attached to a materialistic woman. And then he says, more favorable than associating with God. What? Something more favorable? Yes. In the beginning, more favorable is to associate with one who's attached to God. Just like when men, you know, men, lusty men, they talk about these things, you know, money and women. And you get their association, you get the seed of lust in the heart. So somehow, due to your past good fortune or your devotional service or just the incessant mercy of the Lord, you come in contact with devotees and then you get the seed of enthusiasm, lolium, to serve Krishna. We were mentioning the two boys who were herding the goats, and they overheard two Vaishnavas, the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur, Ramakrishna and Hari Ram. They were discussing Krishna consciousness. And these low-class goat herdsmen, worshippers, taking the animals to sacrifice, they heard these words of these pure devotees and they had a change of heart. I've had a change of heart, Mangalananda. Brand new start. This is the miracle. People think, oh, miracles happened 2,000 years ago. No. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of Prabhupada and Kali Yuga, there's a miracles happening all over the world every day. You just have to have the eyes to see it. So first the mercy of the devotees and then the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati concluded, our search should not be for God. Many times you meet people, I'm on a path, I'm looking for God. No, sir. Don't look for God. What do you mean? Look for one who, well, he says, look, search for one who can take you to God. Someone might say, but if God's everywhere, why do I need someone to find him, approach him? When we're on the street, we're at the festivals, the programs, you get these questions. You have to field them. Field the question. Field it. You get this question. If God's everywhere, then what do I need someone to approach him for? Well, what's the answer? There's lots of answers, but one answer is, well, electricity is everywhere. Right now there's plenty of electricity shooting through this temple room. But if you want to connect with it, you can't just, you know, take your computer, your power supply and just plug it into the air, right? You've got your computer and you want to, you're losing power, so you just, okay, here, hello, what's the, there's electricity everywhere, come on. No, you have to go to the wall, you have to go to the power source, you have to plug it into the wall. Boing, boing. So God's everywhere. If you want to connect him, to connect through his devotee. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu. You have to connect with the disciplic succession. You need the spiritual master. Now, a question I got recently in Australia at one program, one boy came up to me and he was arguing. Okay, so I believe in God, but why does someone have to come between me and God? That was another angle. I was really tired that night. You know, we had Harinam all day, and then we put the festival, and there's a problem, and this boy comes with this philosophical question. Come on, Swami. He was an Indian boy. If why do I need someone to come between me and God? So I'm trying to go back through all my notes and my remembrances and the lectures. I said, yes. Like telescope, I said. God is very far away, but if you want to bring him nearer, you can put something between you and God. What? I said, telescope. There's a big, thick piece of glass between you and God. The telescope. Like between you and the moon. Moon's very far away, but you put the telescope there and that thick glass, boom, it's almost as if you have the moon in your hands. So God is very far away, but by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's here. With Prabhupada's mercy, the Archivigraha, he actually describes Archivigraha as the most merciful form of God, mercy incarnation of God. By the mercy of the spiritual master, God is dancing on the tip of our tongue. He has introduced us and he's blessed us, authorized us to chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And to learn to our amazement, there's not only one spark in the body, there's two. There's you and God. So the super soul appears externally as the spiritual master, but hold on now, got to clarify that. It doesn't mean he's God. He's representative of God. The idea being that although you may ignore the super soul because of your false ego, it's much more difficult to ignore or disobey the spiritual master. In fact, Prabhupada said it, the training business is that the guru inspires and the guru has to chastise also. We need this direct intervention because we're little naughty. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're enthusiastic, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we want to be a devotee, sometimes we don't. But once someone takes charge of us, that all stops. He takes charge. He'll inspire us when we do something nice, and if we do something wrong, he'll tell us so. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Prabhupada said that his Guru Maharaj, he was more in the business of chastising the disciples. And you need that. We need someone to take charge. Like Prabhupada said of his parents, he said, my father was very kind and very loving. My mother was very strict. This is the way of training. He said, in the Gurukul, when the student is naughty, then you come to him and you say, now, you've been naughty. Well, I'm going to have to punish you. You're going to miss breakfast. Ooh. But then after the punishment, you have to come up and say, I punished you, but I love you. I punished you because I loved you. And now, I love you because you're not going to make that mistake again. Let us go forward. This combination of little sauce and little sugar, we require that. Not just one or the other, but the both. So this is the practical dealings of the representative of the Lord. He's there to take our hand at every step of the way. You can't ignore him. Just like who was one of the disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He became so naughty, he was in the association of God, and he saw these gypsy girls. He went, nice. Can you imagine? He's a brahmachari assistant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he became attracted by the material energy. So he left and he went to join the camp of the gypsies. Mahaprabhu, where's my servant Krishnadas? Oh, he's for the gypsies. Mahaprabhu stormed out of the place he was in, right into the camps of the gypsies, and they took their daggers and their swords and their spears. And but he's Yogeshwara. He's a master of all mystic potencies, so as all these weapons were coming towards the Lord, they mysteriously turned around and went deep into the hearts of those dacoits who threw them. And they're all dead and gone. Then Lord Chaitanya, and he took that, it's described, he took that Krishnadas and dragged him by the hair back to his camp. He's incessantly trying to deliver us. Prabhupada said at the point that the spiritual master may even take birth again. So we should be kind upon our spiritual master. We should act in such a way that it makes it easy for him to deliver us. Delivering he will have to do, but not to, we shouldn't drag him back down. Like I remember when I was young, I took a course to become lifeguard at Stinson Beach in Marin County, outside of San Francisco. I remember very clearly that they were telling us that when you swim out to rescue someone, it's not an easy thing to rescue them. There's a way you do it. You don't directly approach the person, because usually when they're drowning, they're panicking. So you swim behind them, and you put your arm over their shoulder, around their neck, like this, and then you do the scissor kick. You pull them in to the shore like that. They're here, and you're going in this way. If you check, they might pull you down. To go around and pull them like that. So we shouldn't make it difficult for us. We should make it to take the disciple to go out and preach. It's not easy. It's fun because it's nice to see how the Gaura Shakti, the power of Mahaprabhu, can elevate one from ignorance to passion to goodness and beyond to Sudarshatra. But if we're good devotees and we're trying to, you know, we're maintaining the regulative principles and we're chanting our rounds and we're giving up our material desires, it becomes lighter and lighter and lighter, then makes it easier for Guru Maharaj to deliver us. So we have to take shelter of the devotees, take shelter of the Lord's representative, their Krishna's mercy upon us. We should always keep that vision. Prabhupada said, those who are working with the deity should be very careful not to become over familiar with the deity. always remember. One of my disciples, Nrisimha Kavacha Das, I learned something nice from him. He's one of the devotees engaged in the ministry for deity worship. I like to worship deities. He also likes to worship deities. So he was putting together a manual for deity worship. So I said, Nrisimha Kavacha, what are some of the more important rules to remember when worshiping the deity? He said, Guru Maharaj, I learned from Jananivas in Mayapur, the most important rule in deity worship is to always remember the deity is a person. It's not a statue. My dear Lord, you're not a statue, you're directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. But to always remember, if you always remember he's a person, you'll act accordingly, do everything in a very personal way. Prabhupada said, detail is a sign of love. You do everything in a very detailed way because he's a person. Because of our neophyte nature, we tend to become a little familiar and we may commit offense. So in the same way, Prabhupada said, in dealing with the spiritual master, we don't want to become familiar because of constant association. We have to always remember his exalted position. It's been arranged by providence in the eyes of the disciple. This person, in the eyes of the disciples, Krishna sent him to help me. So we always have that special affection for and that mentality. It's been arranged by divine providence. Yesterday I met the son of my godbrother Mangalananda in Gainesville. What's that boy's name? Big boy, washing the pots. Nice boy. So when I saw him, I remembered Mangalananda. And I remember that Mangalananda helped me, gave me a deep impression of how Prabhupada came into our lives as Prabhupada's disciples and delivered us. I used to do Sankirtan with Mangalananda it was either 70 or 71. We would go on Sankirtan in Columbus, Ohio. It was a big Sankirtan party. Lots of paraphernalia. There was me and him. And he had his guitar and I had the conch shell. we had a box of BTGs. So we'd been sent down from Detroit by Bhagavan Das to spread the Sankirtan movement around the Midwest. Well, we went to the Columbus and there's a university, I forget the name of the university. So Mangalananda said, okay, we're going to go in Sankirtan. So he would stand on the street corner, he'd play his guitar. He was very good. His voice was like honey or nectar. He'd play the guitar, and he said, so you take the conch shell, and you go around, and when I sing and people stop, you stick it in their tummy, and you ask for a donation. He said he learned this from Brahmananda Swami in New York. Really? Yeah, you take the sharp end, you stick it in their stomach, and you ask them for a quarter, then you give them a BTG. Okay, so we did. He'd stand on the corner with his guitar, and he'd sing songs. Now, he'd sing Hare Krishna, a lot of time he was singing songs. And I'd go around and, could you give a quarter? Got a few corners and a few swings. So I remember one song that he was singing that always reminded me of Prabhupada's mercy. He said, I don't know if it was ever recorded because I went on the internet a few weeks ago and saw there's a list of his songs and some of the words, but I don't remember this song. O Paramahansa of the Nectar Lake, did you your own true love forsake, leaving his fresh and fragrant lotus breast, to come to this world of birth and death? And is this a helping hand you lend, while in this world of matter you transcend? I am perplexed, please let it be known, have you come to take us home? Chantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.